For more than a decade, FTI has strived to become the leader in the aftermarket performance transmission and converter industry. We've joined forces with McLeod Driveline Components under the leadership of top fuel funny car pilot Paul Lee, and now have a larger distribution network, more resources, and more power. Come see us in the pits and ask how you can join the FTI family. It's not cheating. It is the competitive edge.
It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, WFO Radio is back. The 2022 Parade of Lucas Oil Series Champions is on. We're going to connect with our two-time now Top Alcohol Funny Car World Champ, Doug Gordon, just seconds from now. We're going to talk about the 2022 campaign, the big crash in Brainerd, the big bounce back in St. Louis, and ultimately locking down the title out there in Pomona. First, I want to tell you about the people who make it possible for me to go WFO real quickly, and we'll get into it a little bit later on in the show. But the folks at Foggit on board in 2023, protect that engine. You spend so much on it. A can of Foggit is like $20, and your engine is like a lot more than that. Each time you put it away at the end of the night, just fog it down. FTI Performance Transmissions and Torque Converters, of course. Power Glides, Three Speeds, Top Dragster, Top Sportsman, Dot 90, Big Money Bracket Racing, or your regular average, you know, high-performance street car, they can do the transmissions. Go to FTIPerformance.com. Total Seal Piston Rings. I am getting ready to head out to the Engine Performance Expo in Johnson City, Tennessee. You'll be able to watch online for free. Just type in Engine Performance Expo into YouTube. Subscribe. Jason Lyon going to be there. Greg and Aaron Stanfield going to be involved. A lot of interesting things. Ben Strader from EFI University, a lot of tuning knowledge. Lake Speed, I'll be there. So check it out. It's Engine Performance Expo on YouTube, and it's all an exercise that you learn that ring seal is important, and the surface of your cylinders is so vital to making that hidden horsepower. Bernie Speed Shop, that's right. Bernie's up there in Ocala, Florida, talking about Josh Hart. They've got a tremendous inventory, millions of dollars in classic and muscle cars, exotic cars. Go to their website, bernies.com, to find out more. Josh Hart getting all kinds of pub, and we're going to be connecting with Josh real soon. And phillips-connect.com for that smart trailer technology. Later on in the show, I'll tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. I'll tell you about Marvin Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, and I'll tell you about samtech.edu. But right now, if you love Top Alcohol, if you feel like Top Alcohol Funny Cars especially don't get the attention that they deserve, it's time to share this show, because here comes the champ, Mr. Doug Gordon. Doug, welcome to WFO Radio. Our video version for the first time. You shocked me when you told me that. I guess it's true. Hey, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just glad to be back on.
Well, you did. You earned it, right? And that's the thing about WFO. As much as we, you know, have our friends on and new characters on, but people who earn it the way you did. This is your second championship. And I guess the last one, it was right before we switched to the video version of the show, is what we're talking about. This one, you know, I don't know. You tell me. That was 2020. This one, I guess you had to work a little harder for this one, but you characterize it. Tell me about this championship.
You know, it was we started the year off with the girls as the sole crew to the car, which was a big deal in general. I remember sitting in Bakersfield and the two girls sitting there, you know, going to fire up the car. My dad's all the way at the starting line. I'm like, well, are we sure we want to do this yet? Like, let's just, you know, like, dad, stand here and help them out. But, you know, they did it. First run out, we ended up kicking the rods out of the car and, you know, we were changing motors and had all kinds of problems. And we're like, wow, okay, this is the way the season's going to go. This is not good. We made one kind of run, and then we ended up taking it back home and working on it and trying to figure out what all problems we had and why this was happening. But the girls, like I say, being the crew of the car is just, it's a dream story. Christina coming all the time to the races. It's a dream way to race. Like I say, but the year started off rough, and then Pomona and Phoenix, we had some success, went to the semis. Shane beat us at both of those, and we're like, wow, okay, well, this is, you know, it's gonna be a tough year, but we figured out some problems, and we went on a five race winning streak. It was like, wow, all right, we got it together now. And but every time we'd win, Shane would go win somewhere else. We'd win, Shane would go win somewhere else, and it was like he would never give us a break.
You know, speaking of a break, someone out there, we're live out there on the YouTube and the Twitter and Facebook, and a lot of people will be watching after the fact, but some are watching right now. And Jim Essex has got his head in the right spot, right? Like, you guys staying high and dry? What's the weather situation for you and the fam out there in Northern California?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, we really get rain here. I mean, we get like 10, 12 inches a year on average. And I don't know how much we've gotten the last couple of days, but it's flooding everywhere. And a lot of people's houses are getting flooded. And they lost a little boy in a river deal. Guy, mom trying to cross a river, lost a kid in the river. And so it's big for us, probably to people like you guys that get water and stuff all the time. It's like, well, it's not really that big a deal, but it's big to us.
We don't have mudslides. We don't have all that stuff. It's all about whether your area can take it. And Jim, thank you for mentioning. Obviously, we connect with drag racers all the time, especially in moments like this where Doug is, you know, the proud papa who won the championship. We want to talk about positive things, but let's keep it in perspective for all the friends, family, neighbors, and everybody that's out there on the West Coast that's dealing with just an unusual circumstance, certainly. So, you know, Top Alcohol Funny Car, one of my favorite categories. We talk about it all the time, what you do on the starting line, the old school driving aspect, driver very involved, but not as many cars as we have had in the past. But the quality of the cars that we do have, I don't know if there's ever been a tougher year, right? You mentioned Westerfield just going to all those finals and winning so many races in a row. Of course, Sean Bellemere in the Bartone car is one of the greatest of all time. And here you are, you're coming into 2022 with, as I understand it, a new clutch setup, like new parts, new pieces, new combination, and a new crew who are your teenage daughters. You referenced that you know, maybe thought twice about it. Explore that a little bit for us, because I'm sure there's a lot of parents of drag racers that are like, yeah. And there's a lot of parents of just regular kids out there that are like, that doesn't sound like a good idea. Talk a little bit about making those decisions.
Well, you know, it is a big deal. You know, I always look at the Joel Motto thing, you know, years ago, one mistake by my crew could cost me my life, you know, type of stuff. And it is a big deal. You're talking about a car that's really fast and there's a lot of things that need to be done right. And they're complicated. And so the girls, you know, putting us, you know, 16 and 17 year old girls, you know, being the crew was, you know, a big step and throwing them right into everything. I mean, I'd say they're the ones on the starting line, starting the car. They're the ones, if it don't start, they're the ones that got to figure out how to make it happen. And, you know, we train them to every ability that we can just so that they know how to handle everything. And they want to learn and they listen and they, you know, so they're exceptional right now, and they're going to be even more exceptional as years go on. But so it was a big step to try to make that happen and to try to, you know, entrust that they can handle it. But it just made winning a championship is great, but, you know, but having my family, just to say it's me, my mom, my dad, and my wife and my two kids, you know, is the only people going to the races together. So there's nobody that doesn't like anybody. That's everybody that gets along perfect. And it's a dream way to race.
It almost doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense that you are able to have that, you know, blessed situation or however you want to say it, but there's a downside to that. Right. And we saw it, at Brainerd, but we'll get to that point. You had some great successes. You won that five in a row and Norwalk, very big deal in Norwalk because you took out one of your championship contenders early in the race. And, you know, who knew that stuff would come down to the wire, that we would be tracking points with Sean and Shane and DJ. Like, there were so many good cars out there this year that some of those early season mid-round race wins or losses would figure into the math.
You know, we pretty much knew that Sean was going to be in the hunt the whole time. You know, he's just, they have the greatest team out there and stuff. And I mean, so to compete with them is, you know, you're going to have to be perfect. And so we knew going into that race, I still remember that. I mean, that was, like I say, probably the biggest race of our season in my perspective. But.
Oh, no, he's getting a text.
Now
he's back. You're back. Now you're back.
Knowing that he was on our side of the ladder was like, oh no, we can't get Sean in the second round. I mean, if we lose that round, I mean, we're going out early. I mean, it's a 50-50 shot at best, you know, in my opinion, to take him out. So it was like, knowing that, you know, we got to race him in the early rounds was tough. And to say to go around him, that was like, whoa, all right. So now we got a shot. But track was really, really tough that weekend. And we didn't perform as well as I think that we should have. And then to come down to the final against DJ, who ended up being another big competitor for the championship this year. They had a phenomenal year, and they were right there. And I was love seeing them going, you know, coming to West Coast. But, you know, having him in the final, he's a great driver. And he pushed me to limits. I was able to, you know, cut a 29 light in the final, which was great for me. He had a 19 light, which is normal for him. But it was great for me. So I was able to just kind of keep up, you know, so it was cool.
So we're getting some questions out there. And of course, I always invite the audience to throw some questions. Yeah, do your thing, man. Look at Doug. He's making moves. What are you doing? He's making moves. There he is. We're doing a live interview here on WFO. That's
all
right.
Sorry, I got a shop just calling me, and I can see the text coming through that it wasn't something that need to be handled right now. So,
hey. And just so you know, if you know something does need to be handled right now, you can. We've seen your face, so that is good. Someone wants to know what's so good about the Lindbergh chassis. You put one to the test in Brainerd. We were all there. It was a nightmare scenario for those of us who like you and want to see you be successful. And I can't even imagine what it was like for the fam. Like the downside of the family being everything, the girls. Christina, your dad, like watching you go through that incident. But what we did was we put the Lindbergh chassis to the big test and it passed. You know, tell me about that. I had read, and Phil Burgess did a great article about your championship, aerodynamic modifications, like trying to figure things out, trying to do some things. It kind of seemed out of nowhere to you from what I read. Take us through that run and the experience of going through that. It's something we don't want to ever have to, and we want to learn from your experience.
Yeah, no, totally. You know, we did a lot of investigation and stuff and tried to figure out how to fix the problem so it doesn't happen again. but, you know, the thing was, it was carrying the front end. It was in low gear, carrying the front end. We're against Westerfield. We know this is a big battle. We got him now first round. You know, we both qualified bad. We have him first round at a big race. And it was carrying the front end going towards the right. And I shifted into second. I'm like, okay, it's on the outside edge of the groove, but as long as I can stay right here, I'll be okay. So I got the wheels turned, you know, but I was going down through, you know, in second gear. And I'm like, okay, stay right here. We're all right, right, right. And then I shifted into high. And then I made another move towards the wall. I'm like, nope, that's it. So I got off the gas. And then I'm just kind of coasting. But so at this point, when I was off the gas, it was wanting to coast straight and everything. So, but I was out of the groove to the right, obviously. It was coasting straight, and I don't see him over there. And I'm like, oh, man, big round. I decided to, which was a bad move, I decided to hit the gas just to get across the finish line, you know, ahead of him, thinking, okay, he's going to be coming around. If I just hit the gas, I'll get to there before he can come around me. So I hit the gas to go across the finish line first. I got to the finish line. I let off the gas, and I went for the chutes, not thinking anything. Just went for the chutes, and all of a sudden, it just turned sideways. And I'm like, whoa! And, you know, and I had had the feeling before from the Vegas deal, you know. And but when it turned sideways, it was just kind of like, whoa! And when it hit the wall, didn't really know what was going on. I knew it was hitting the wall. I knew it wasn't good, but I was just kind of like, just along for the ride. And once the body came off and it was upside down, skidding down the track, was to me the really scary point. Basically, at that point, when it hit the wall, it broke the blower off the top of the car. And then when it was skidding down the track, I was upside down. The only thing I could see was the ground and the blower in front of me. And the blower was loose, and the ground was trying to drag the blower into me. And I thought, it's funny how you can think so quick, but or you think of things so quick. But I thought of Cruz Pedregon years ago. He had a blower that exploded, and the rotor came out of it, or something came out of it, and hit his roll cage next to him. And I thought of Cruz, and I thought, oh my God, this blower's gonna kill me, you know. And I thought, it's coming over, it's gonna kill me. So then it finally stops, and I'm like, whoa, it stopped, and I stopped. So I'm like, oh man, this is wild shit. Okay, well, now I want to get out. Well, then I can look, and the wall is right next to me. The car's upside down. The wall's right next to me. And I'm thinking, oh man, am I going to be able to get out of this thing? And I'm like, I'm claustrophobic. One of my biggest fears is being stuck upside down in the car. And so I'm like, okay, well, I can see this little gap up from the roll cage up through the driver's compartment. I'm like, ah, maybe I can get in there. So I undo my buckle and I like try to squeeze out. And I get my head and I'm like, no, I'm not making no way. I'm going to get hung up, you know, half in, half out. So then I'm like, okay, just calm down, Doug. So then I try to zip down my zipper and I try to take my helmet off. I think I'm going to take my helmet off so I just get some air and just get freshness. And then that wasn't working. So then I got my visor up and then safety's far I got there. They were there really quick, but all this happened really quick. And they were able to get me flipped over and I got out. And very fortunate. I mean, the only injury I had, I mean, I didn't have a bruise. I had one bruise on the inside of my leg. I think my leg flew up as the steering wheel flipped around and the kill switch on the top of the steering wheel hit my leg and I had a bruise. But I mean, other than that, not a sore muscle, not anything. I testament that a lot to the big head pads. I mean, I try to steer people into this all the time. I mean, super comp racers and every class, I believe these head pads are a big thing to have. The Johnny Lindbergh car, he built a roll cage. He was in the Jim Head crash when, not Jim Head, Jim Head's car with John Force, when John Force ran over the front of him. And he actually ended up with John Force's tire hit his helmet. So when he built, when he was able to start building his own cars, which this was his very first car, he built the roll cage farther forward so that there was more protection around the driver's compartment. And then it's, set of use, and I believe it's 083 tubing you're supposed to use for roll cage. He used 096 just to make it stronger. And if you've seen the roll cage that was on that car, I mean, where it hit the wall, I mean, it was dented in really big, but it was stronger than it had to be. So he made some moves that were better for the safety end of it and stuff. And he was down there at the finish line when we were. You know, checking everything out when we're, getting off the track. And it was kind of crazy. My dad told him right there, so get another car going. And so,
really?
Yeah, we were at
the finish. There was no moment of doubt, of question, of like, life's pretty good. Should we do this? Right back in, get another car, Johnny.
Yep. He ordered another car at the finish line in Brainerd. But later that night, we went to dinner. Christina was crying like, hey, what are we doing? Are we really going to do this again? I mean, we need to figure out what's going on. This is in my dad's like, hey, no, it's fine. We're good. Look, he's fine. You know, we've safe race cars and you know, it's all good. About a week later, dad watched a lot of videos and we all did. I didn't really watch too much of it because I didn't really like seeing it, but then he got the realization that, whoa, this could have been really, really bad. And so from that point on, we really focused on trying to figure out what the problem was, how it happened, why it happened, how to prevent it from happening. And we've came to the conclusion with some aerodynamic testing that Whiteley was able to give us and talking with NHRA and a lot of different smart people. Talked to Ron Capps with John Medlin and Dean Antonelli. Talked to a lot of smart people and stuff and got a lot of information. But we found out that basically the way we had the car set up, it didn't have enough downforce on the back. It was basically our car had lift the way that we had our car set up. And so when it got out of control, when it got out of the groove and I upset the car and the car has lift, it basically just did what it wanted to do. So going back to the new car, we put a wicker bill on the back of it, which was information from Whiteley's that we found out that it gave 550 pounds of downforce with a half inch of wicker on it. We left on some plates on the sides of it on the sides of the body behind the rear tire that would give it downforce. Excuse me. And then we made taller spill plates that actually had stiffeners on it, which was John Medlin and Dean Antonelli's idea. And then we also added front fender flares on the front of the car, which will give it better steering, which I think if I would have been able to steer better in second gear, I could have kept it in the groove and it wouldn't have been out of the groove. So I think, and I learned a little bit later this year with the new car that I was able to steer it a lot better. So I think that improvement would have helped that situation too.
Wow. But first of all, the community rallying around this situation, want to never see it again. And you were able to learn and put all that information to work. What about the girls though? How did they handle that? You know, we watch them on the starting line. They're jumping up and down. They're rooting for their dad. They want you to win. That's the easy part, right? They got a taste of the real negative with that. Your dad, all in, ready to go. Christina, yeah, you know, she's kind of, she told me at the award ceremony, you know, she didn't even know that this whole world existed. And now she's all in on it. What about the girls? They want to race. Jim is out there. He says he saw what appeared to be dragster chassis sitting in your shop. Maybe they're going racing. We know that they are. But what was their reaction to their dad going through something like that?
It was kind of a funny story. I mean, not funny, but, you know, Christina and Macy saw it happen. So they were both, you know, when they were watching through the finish line and then saw the car upside down and they saw it happen. So they were kind of like, oh, no, dad crashed. And then, but Madison and my parents both were like, they just saw, you know, saw us lose. And then they were like, okay, well, we're done, you know, and then Macy's like, dad crashed. Or actually, Macy was freaking out. My mom's like, why are you freaking out? We just lost. It's not that big of a deal. You know, we're going to lose every once in a while. And no, dad crashed. And so then it was the first time we had started taking a scooter to the starting line, which was just kind of different. We had changed our routine. Well, so Madison was on the scooter. So they had, so she jumped on the scooter and took off. And she was going to get to the, she wanted to get there fast and she could because she was able to run and get. So NHRA was calling like, hey, stop the cars, you know, stop the tow vans and stuff because they don't want to get down to the finish line where there could be bad stuff going on and stuff. Well, Madison had already, she had already passed all that stuff. And they're like, oh, too late. The daughter's already there. And, but on the tow ride van, on the tow van down there, you know, Christina's told me the stories and stuff. I mean, Macy's like, is dad dead? You know, and Christina's like, you know, at first she's like, I don't know. You know, then she's like, I got to be strong. I'm supposed to be a parent. I'm not just a wife right now. I got to be a parent, you know, and, you know, I'm sure he's fine, you know, but she said, you know, that 4-minute ride to get down there to, you know, figure out what did happen, what is going on was very, you know, very rough. And it was rough on the family for a while. We all just, we went through it. We talked about it. The girls watched a million times on videos what happened and just try to learn from it and, you know, making it safer so that when Maddie gets in it too, we hopefully don't have any of these kind of problems.
Yeah. And, the way time can speed up and slow down, you're thinking those amazing, like long form thoughts while you're going through something upside down about the supercharger, like, oh yeah, cruise better. It's just amazing how time isn't always the same. That 4 minutes of just trying to figure out, is dad okay? And dad was okay. And you went back and new car was ordered. And then like the best part of the story, right? Like I didn't want to say I had written you off, but I had kind of written you off, like to get back into the championship hunt. Yeah. Like, okay, they're coming back. You told me you're going to get another car, but to be able to sustain the championship and win it, that's shocking. Coming back at St. Louis and the performance was there right away. Like that had to be a great feeling. When did you feel like, hey, this thing is still possible? Or did you always feel like the thing was still possible?
No, I didn't always feel like it was still possible. I really gone into right before Brainerd, we were at Seattle, went out first round. We were at Topeka, went out first round, went out Brainerd first round. So we were struggling even with the other car. So we had some problems going on and that we were trying to figure out. We thought we would about figured it out at Brainerd, but we didn't know for sure. We still only qualified eighth or ninth, you know, so it's like we hadn't really got the performance like we should. So we knew that we were struggling already. So I wanted to tell people, oh yeah, we still got a shot. But in reality, I didn't really think we had much of a shot. I mean, Shane was running away with it. I mean, and you know, and then Sean was still always there. DJ was, you know, had a shot. You know, Matt Gill was doing good. It's just there was a lot of stuff out there that people are doing good, and we just so I didn't give us much of a shot, but I wanted to say that we did. Keep the hopes alive. And I said, hey, but I did say, hey, there's 5 races left. We've already won 5. So if we can win these 5 races, we'll have a perfect season. There's no way anybody could beat us. So if we can win these 5, then we can win the championship. But if we don't win the 5, then we'll see what happens. And so, but the biggest thing we went into St. Louis and stuff was we really didn't know if the car would be able to go fast with all the downforce stuff we were adding to it. So we're like, hey, these front fender flares, these the wicker wheel in the back, the pieces on the side of the body, isn't going to just slow it down 3 miles an hour and we're going to be 400 slow. And it's like, well, with Bellemere going 20 on the tree and Shane going 20 on the tree and DJ going 20 on the tree and me going 40 or 50 on the tree, and now we're 400 slower car, we're not going to have a great shot, you know. But yeah, the car was the car. We went to St. Louis and we, the first day, we made runs. We banged the blower on the first run. We couldn't get down the track. We never got out of low gear in the first day. So it's like, well, okay, well, it's not going to be as easy as we as hoped. And, you know, and then the second day we finally got it down the track, ran a slow run. And the third day we got it running a little faster than we, by eliminations, we had a, we had the best car on the property by the end of the day.
Amazing. Amazing. So going good. Dallas, Chris Houle does his thing. That guy, he knows how to go double O, and and he did, which brings it down to Vegas and Pomona. And oh my gosh. So just walk us through that. Like, okay, this is real now. We got a shot. Everybody was going for it though. Shane had such a great year, you know, Rick with his health issues and Sean and DJ came west. Just walk me through those final couple races, ultimately concluding with the championship.
Yeah. And there ended up being like, I called three kind of dream stories. You know, they had our story with the crash and the girls and all the stuff. And then they had, Shane with Rick and going through his health problems. And then DJ with his dad going through his health problems and stuff too. So it was like, you know, there was three like great stories. I mean, I would have been happy for, you know, for any of them to win, and Bellemere too, just because they're good and they're nice people and stuff. And we have a lot of friendships, but we obviously wanted to win it. But going into Vegas, everybody's there, you know, there's everybody going for it. Everybody's still got a shot. I mean, I've been driving for 30 years and, you know, been in a lot of pressure situations, been in, you know, championship deal. I've been in a lot of final rounds but man, it was a lot of pressure. And I want to say I didn't do really well under the pressure. I mean, I joke around, I'm a 40, 50 guy on the tree, you know, where these guys are 20s, but, I mean, I was 70, 80, 90 on the tree at both Vegas races. It just was like they were going red. I mean, all three of them went red at one of the races, you know, and it was like they're going red. And it's like, just don't screw up. You don't screw up. You know, if you, you know, so I was really focusing on don't screw up. And, you know, and so then I wasn't cutting good lights. The car was fast and we got lucky when we needed to. At the regional event, against, Marshall, he was fast all weekend. And we were head to head all weekend, head to head, you know, all weekend qualifying. And then come to the final round, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be tough to win. And I knew how important it was, because if we could win that one, we would go in ahead of Shane going into Pomona, which was big. If not, we had to go like a lot of rounds at Pomona to get caught up to him. And, so winning that one was, like just phenomenal. The weekend before when we won that one, I was excited that we won, but I was almost, I didn't really know why, but I wasn't as excited as I should be. And I look back on it now, and I think the real reason why I wasn't as excited, because I knew how much more pressure that put on going into the next race.
Great. More. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. This again. So, but we ended up winning all four races at Vegas. I mean, Vegas was our dream place this year. It saved our neck.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then you go on to the finals and you're able to lock down the championship and secure moments like this, where you're on stage and you're celebrating with the family and the roller coaster ride like comes to an end, and you think about a win streak, a crash, a battle back, another win streak, and now you're champions as a family for the second time. Just the feeling of accomplishment that must come from that. We see these champions all the time, athletes, of course, sports teams, of course. But for you as a family that choose to put yourself through this gauntlet to come out the champion on the other end, what is that like, Doug?
For me, the champion, this championship was so huge for us, because, you know, we won it in 2020. but that was 2020. So it was like, hey, well, there wasn't as many races, and, you know, so it's still, we got the trophy and all the stuff. And I mean, but there's kind of a little bit of an asterisk by it, but hey, it still is championship. But the bummer part of it was we didn't get to go to the banquet. I mean, as a sportsman racer, there's just very few chances to be able to attend something like that. I mean, that's a big deal in everybody's world. And, so there's not very many chances for that to happen. And, for me, for the girls being a crew, it's like, you got a chance for these, a clutch girl and the girl who's building these motors and stuff to dress up all beautiful. Like, it's like, you want to give them that opportunity. And I wanted to see him have that opportunity, you know, so I really wanted to win the championship so they could, you know, so they could get all dressed up, you know. And it was, so that part of it, and the banquet was just phenomenal. I mean, I cannot say enough about how well it was put together, how well each step of it was done. We just had a great time, and it felt really special to be part of. We went to the pro banquet and stuff, and you just got all these pro drivers and stuff talking to you and smiling, and, you know, and just, they know who you are and stuff, you know. And so it was really, 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 you know, that part of it was so big to me.
That's great. So what I take out of that, all the other 2020 champions, it was Doug who says there's an asterisk, not me. I didn't say that. It was Doug who said that. And you like the Pechanga Resort. That's cool. That's everybody enjoyed the switch of venue for the World Championship Awards Banquet. Great job. 2022. Amazing. What lies ahead? I know the girls are going to start driving. What is the plan? And we've got a question in the chat section. I'll ask you after you answer that.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, so 2023, we're planning to start getting Madison, you know, comfortable with the car. And the way we're going to do it, you know, the process we're going to do is every time we warm the car up this year, she will be the person in the seat, you know, revving it up and doing the stuff in the pits. And then I'm going to drive it all year, and we're going to go for another championship. We're going to, going to change around our schedule a little bit, you know, make sure we try to hit enough West Coast races and stuff to hopefully go for the division or the West region championship again, which we were fortunate enough to win again this year. But we want to, we'd like to conquer that again if possible. But yeah, then maybe some point during the year, we've already got Madison a suit ordered and, you know, that kind of stuff. Some point throughout the year, we'll probably get her in the car and get her hopefully licensing somewhere here or there. But then in the meantime, we're going to be racing our dragsters. We've got two dragsters that basically are Macy's dragsters. Our goal is to have one in Super Comp and one in Top Dragster. And then when we're not racing them in those deals, we're going to run bracket races, local bracket races, maybe some of these spring fling type of big money bracket races. And then Maddie and Macy will both drive during that. And then Christina's goal is for me to drive one of them once I'm out of the funny car, for me to drive one of the dragsters. So we'll see. It's funny. I'm not licensed to drive one right now, so I can't right now. I have to get licensed, but we'll see. I might get in dragster and do a little bracket racing like Brian Howe does. And wow. I look forward to that in the future. But for right now, we're just going to follow that plan. So we have no grade points or anything right now for the dragster. So we're going to try to build some grade points and stuff this year to where hopefully be able to run maybe a few national events here or there, but nothing where the funny car's at, because it just, the girls can't run those and crew on the funny car.
Yeah, no, it seems like a lot of work. Danny Nelson out there, speaking of world champions, saying what a great team, great family. Very nice to get acquainted with them. Earl Nichols a little bit earlier, won a race this year. Whole family's got it going on. This is what NHRA is about, family, all of that. Very exciting. I'm so excited for you, and just love, I agree with what they say, right? The family is the core of it all. But the audience wants to know what you think about these injected nitro cars coming in. And Jim Essex, are you going to stay blown? Are you moving to injected nitro? I think I know the answer, but why don't you give us your take on this whole, you know, it's a big change for alcohol funny car. This is huge. For me, the nostalgia bodies being legal, I don't know if there's going to be any, but I'm excited about it. I would love to see one. Others are excited about the injected nitromethane cars. What is your take, Doug Gordon?
Well, one thing real quick, too. I saw Danny Nelson's name on there. That's Danny. Both of our dragsters are Danny Nelson dragsters. But we just picked one up at his shop, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. But anyways, for the A-Fuel, for the Nostalgia Funny Car thing, Nostalgia Funny Car bodies, I originally was not in for it. I love the class the way it is, as far as, you know, rev it up and in my opinion, the hardest, or what, you know, I've heard is the hardest cars to drive. I've never driven anything else. That's all I know. But, but as the year went on, as the last 2 years went on, I've been really working with NHRA, and really, I've been kind of trying to head the project to build up the car counts and try to talk with all the racers and stuff and figure out why people aren't out there running alcohol funny cars, and why we don't have, 16 car fields at every race we have, and why we're getting short on stuff, and tried to fix as many of those problems as we could. And we still weren't getting the car counts filled up. So when that finally came to reality that, hey, there's going to have to be a change to fill the car counts up, and I want 16 car fields, and I want to go out and battle like we did at Norwalk, where, there's full fields. And so we became an advocate of the A fuel thing. Do we personally want to have one? No. NHRA has vowed to, do like they do and everything else, and try to do the best job they can in keeping the parity of them. So if they can do that like they did with alcohol dragster this year, then I really look forward to the challenge of racing the new stuff. And I think it'll hopefully bring in some new blood, people who just, are excited to run, funny car, but don't really want to go through the learning curve of trying to drive a blown alcohol funny car. So I think there's going to be a bigger learning curve to drive one than there probably will be with an A-fuel car. I know that, I see some drivers come in, they're able to jump in some of Randy Meyer's cars and stuff and, be capable of winning the first race out. I don't know if that's really feasible in a blown alcohol funny car to be that good that quick. But you don't know. It's possible. I saw Shane Westerfield jump out there, and that kid was a phenomenal driver from the first run. He jumped in a car. So anything's possible, for the right person. But I think it'll hopefully bring some new blood. I think it has potential to bring some new cars out. I don't know if it'll bring anybody really out too soon, but maybe over the next couple of years.
Right. Well, and there's nothing else like it, right? It's very unique, and that's why we like it. There's nobody else who's doing that, rev it up on the starting line, turn it loose, shifting, like all of those things. It's very challenging. It's very hard. It's dangerous. You experience that. And it's not like you got to learn that to become a nitro funny car driver, right? It's not the road to the pros. It's like it used to be back in the day. And that's unfortunate because it's some great racing and it's super exciting. Let's see. Mark wants to know, about clutch and transmission. Like, how would you answer this question? What do you have as far as a clutch and transmission? Like, this is obviously special for your alcohol funny car. How would you answer that?
Yeah. So we use a Molinari, clutch. There's a couple of different clutches out there that people use: the Lindbergh clutch, the Molinari clutch, or the Crower clutch. We happen to go with the Molinari. We've ran it for years. It's just a good working piece. And then we use B&J transmissions. So there's B&J and there's Lenco transmissions out there, but B&J is the one that we've decided to use, and it's just been a quality piece. It's done real well for us. So that's the stuff we use, and it's a 3-speed transmission.
Excellent. These Nostalgia bodies, is there any chance they're loud now? But are we going to see any? That Camaro body that you run, that everyone runs, everybody says it's so aerodynamically slick. That's what ran everything else out of the class. Now, we did see Kyle with his Mustang body from years ago and that torque converter combination run really fast. So maybe that's overstated. Nostalgia bodies, can they compete? What do you say?
I think it's yet to be seen, so I think that'll just be something we'll have to see. But I think that NHRA say they're going to be on top of everything, trying to keep the parity the best they can. So, they'll probably give, if they can't compete, they'll probably give them a break or whatever here or there so that they can compete. So I think it's, I think they will be competitive. Whether they come out and be competitive first right off, I don't know. But I think with the whole scheme of things, they will be able to be competitive.
Well, I hope so. I want to see a 78 Trans Am out there. Like when I first showed up at the Gator Nationals, it was great stuff. And one of the reasons I am here, Doug, final thought for the audience out there, your fans, the people that are going to watch this, in the future as the 2023 season plays out. Of course, we're excited about, Maddie's career and Macy and just the whole fam staying out there, watching you get kicked to the curb slowly. But what do you have to say to the fans out there? This time is for you. You've earned it. You are now a two-time champ.
I just look forward to racing. Like I say, we do have, it's funny, cause I don't really feel like I'm anybody special that I should have fans of, you know, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that I do talk with and stuff that are excited to be part of our racing and watch our racing and stuff. And, I look forward to it. I always try to communicate and do the best we can to, you know, hang out with the fans. We get people in the race car, let them sit in the race car. You know, even people like Joe Costello, we had sit in our race car in Dallas years ago, you know,
That was a great experience, by the way. Thank you so much for that, because let's put the body down on you, Joe. I'm like, okay. Oh, a totally different experience. Thank you for that, Doug. And those things, like, they have helped me do what I do better. Like that one experience was 3 minutes, right? But it lasted a lifetime.
It does. And those things, I say, I've sat in people's dragsters and things. And to me, that's like so huge. And it's like, I've driven race cars for a long time, but those things stick in my mind. So then it makes me think, oh shoot, it would probably really be really special for that person to be able to do this. So we try to do as many things of that as we can. We even got, as a funny thing, we got Kevin Houle, Chris Houle's brother, who had never sat in the funny car. We got him to sit in our funny car and put it in the trailer at Vegas this year, which was a big old deal. We got pictures and stuff. But just little experiences like that, you know, not that Kevin's a fan of ours, but there's just a lot of fans and a lot of people that just, we try to make it as enjoyable and exciting for everybody around us.
Excellent. All right, Doug, I know you're busy. You're running a business over there. I want to mention Beta Motorcycles, though. They jumped on board with you and they've been there for your success. Is that still going 2023? Are you gonna have all your partners back? Everybody happy? I think
yeah,
they should.
So, yeah. So 2023, we did. So Beta was only originally supposed to be for 2 years. So then they signed on again last year for another 2 years. So that was for last year. And then this coming 2023 season, hopefully that'll keep going for more years to come. But yeah, no, Beta Motorcycles will be definitely on the side of the car. We're going to Beta Red. And then still got Lucas Oil has come on board again. Hoosier Tires, NGK Spark Plugs, and Morro Bay Cabinets.
Yeah, the family business that keeps it all going, right? Well, and that's the thing. Like, you guys work hard and you play hard and you have fun and you do it all as a family. Doug, thank you for getting us started off here in 2023 with this world championship interview. Congratulations. I can't wait to see you out there. And, you know, what is your first race? What, now that, you know, the Winter Nationals are not the first race, we're starting in Gainesville. Where do you start your season in 2023?
We debated a lot back and forth on it, but we decided to go with, we're going to run Phoenix Regional the weekend before Gainesville, and then we're going to come back home and then start basically in Pomona. So we'll go Phoenix and then Pomona. But we really, really wanted to go to Gainesville. We love Gainesville. I've always had, you know, had a really good time there and stuff, and the conditions are so great to run fast, you know, at times, but we just kind of we made the decision to try to focus more on making sure we get enough races on the West Coast to have a shot at the Division 7 championship or the West Region championship. And with that, Phoenix being the weekend before, it would have been too hard for my dad to drive from Phoenix to Gainesville right in a row. So we decided to not go there. But we're going to run a full schedule just like before. Just going to basically we're going to hit, you know, Indy. We'll get Indy this year, you know, and we missed it last year, but hit Brainerd again and Topeka and Norwalk and the Pomonas and Vegases. And we're going to give it a go.
I love it. Go back to Brainerd, conquered that place. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Doug, all the best to the family. Thank you so much. Great hanging out with you at the awards banquet. And I can't wait to see you at the track. Congratulations on your 2022 Lucas Oil World Championship.
Thank you.
There he goes, Doug Gordon. Thanks, Doug, with us here on WFO Radio, our parade of champions, Lucas Oil Top Alcohol Funny Car World Champion. And now he's off to work, right? It's like bright and early out there on the West Coast, and just a great family. And it was several years ago, and I had mostly just started. And I spent a lot of time out there trying to learn, as everybody does, trying to learn. Let's just get you in the car. I was like, oh, this is cool. All right. Yeah, I could do this. Let's put the body down. Oh, I can't do this. This is not for me, because I got that claustrophobic feeling as well. You know, Tony Stewart talks about it. A lot of people, like, you got this thing on top of you, but they go out there and they do it and they perform and they get the job done. It is pretty amazing. Thanks again to Doug for being on the show. Now, if you are a fan of Lucas Oil Top Alcohol Funny Car Racing, and there are so many people that are, and they're like, you know, we don't get the attention, man. We need the attention. Our personalities need to get known. We need you to share the show, right? You got to share it on the social. You got to push it out there. Not for me, but for Doug, because what a great thing that they've got going on. And Maddie and Macy and Christina and Mike and Cheryl, the whole family, like, they are a great family. And what do they choose to do with their weekends? I'm sure they could have a boat, right? Right? Or maybe they do, but they're out there racing Top Alcohol Funny Car. It is absolutely awesome. Bob is out there in Ocala, Florida. What's up, Robert? How are you? Good to see you. Oh, man, RJ, I missed this one. Any thoughts on or interest in Funny Car Chaos? Sorry about that. Didn't get that one in, but I'm going to answer for Doug, right? Like, if it involves funny cars, he's probably into it. Like, anything we can do to get more funny cars out there. All right, let me tell you about Marvin Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, hot sauces, spice rubs, grills, tools, tips, information. He's located recipes. There's recipes on the website. Do you guys know that? Fort Worth, Texas. Marvin Rodak, get out there. And when we go to the Stampede of Speed, be ready to drive home with a bunch of coffee. Samtech.edu. I got on a big patriotic rant yesterday just about how our country needs qualified machinists and CNC programmers and all of those things. And that going to Samtech is probably a good thing for our great nation. Go to samtech.edu to find out more. Call Brian Massengill. Tell him you heard about it on WFO. Of course, they're approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. So that is a big, big deal. Samtech.edu. And then there's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, where so many of the up and coming, stars of the future are going right now. And you can go too. The Dragster Adventure, just driving a dragster, making runs, one half track, two full track passes. They can even set up a race for you, your clients, your business associates, your best sales guys. You know, coffee is for closers, right? Well, maybe coffee isn't for closers as much as a trip to Frank Hawley's. That will motivate the sales team. Now, the Parade of Champions, just getting started. We're going to try to work in all of our Lucas Oil Series champions before the Gator Nationals. So we still got a little bit of time. Jeremy Hancock, you'll see that interview tomorrow. Jeremy Hancock, top dragster, world champ, going to be on tomorrow, but I'm going to talk to him today. So when you go to interact, and I'm not responding, that's because it is going to be pre-recorded with Jeremy. But super exciting, super fun. Your chance for final comments about Doug, Doug's fam, the season. Honestly, as happy as I was for Doug, Doug just explained that there were multiple great stories for the championship. And I'm kind of the guy that roots for the best story to tell. And Doug coming back from the crash was a great story. But Shane Westerfield, what a season they had, and with Rick having health issues and just all the different connections and family stuff that's going on. You want everybody to be able to win, and that can't happen. But also, more importantly than wanting everybody to win, which is, that's a little weird, I don't want people to feel the pain of losing is really what it's about. Because racers will tell you they hate losing almost more than they love winning. And so it's unfortunate, like, all those other guys had great years, but they did not get the number one. Doug got the number one. The good news is that's why we do it all again. And we are getting ready to get started here in 2023, not long from now. Just telling you a little bit about WFO in the coming weeks. Of course, Reinhardt back next week. We've got Tim Kalungian, White Alligator Racing, going to do a season preview. We're going to do the Parade of Champions with Jimmy Hidalgo and Bob Locke next week. So it is going to be a lot of fun. We need you to click subscribe. That is the big deal. Subscribe, click the bell. Those of you on YouTube who watch on the YouTube channel, if you subscribe, you click the bell, you'll never miss a show. And that's what we want. Want you to never miss a show. And remember, the archives are open. We've got the WFO mobile application, which is free. You can watch all the videos and you can listen to all the podcasts and you can watch all that stuff in the WFO mobile app. All right, let's see what some of the final comments are. Parks, great show. Ready for Gainesville to get here. Me too, Jim. Me too. Can't wait to see you. Nikki says, The Gordon girls also drive cars too. Maddie and Macy have their own welding business. Great role models. Well, they really are. Go-getters. Teenagers. And, you know, there's a lot of teenagers get a bad rap. But not the ones I know. Are you coming up to the return of Route 66? I believe so, Larry. I believe so. Get your tickets immediately and get all your friends on board. That one's got to be big, guys. Route 66 has to be huge, guys. Like, everybody. We got to bring that one back. All the best, says UKev. What's up, UKev? Doing well. Do you think that you'd have that claustrophobic feeling in a Top Fuel car with a canopy on it? I don't know. I never sat in a Top Fuel car with a canopy on it. Maybe someone will allow me to do so, and I will give you the experience. I'm going to try to be doing a little more active social media stuff out there this year, and that could be one of them. You know, get out there and get in a car and tweet live or something. All right, guys. Thank you very much to Doug. Thanks to the fam. They're always very open with what's going on and their strategies on the racetrack. And they won the championship. Somebody needs to put a 78 or 77, 78 Pontiac Trans Am out there on one of these cars. Make it happen. Oh, look, it's Jan Peterson. Jan and Art. What's up, Jan? How are you? Great interview. Love the team. Thank you all. Appreciate you all. Hey, the archive is open. We had Reinhardt from Bahrain yesterday. I wrote Yas Marina. What a mistake. But, you know, you just get back after it again. All right, guys. WFO, Jeremy Hancock, the next in our parade of champions. Thanks, Doug.